From the land of the Grants University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is Thursday, the 22nd day of May, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett will be along as well to take a look at the cash grain market. He's at TGM at the elevator there in Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out our program for the half hour, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Mike Tenora out of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I know he's going to tell us a little bit about how things will change next week for the very drought-stricken areas of the nation out west. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's take a look now at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat in the July at $6.59 1/4. That's the harvest month, down a nickel. September at $6.70, down 5 1/4. The hard red at $7.51 3/4, 9 3/4 lower. Corn pit was higher for the day for the most part. Nearby July at $4.76 3/4, up 2 1/4. September at $4.74, penny and a half higher. And December corn at $4.73 1/2, up 1 3/4. March contract in the new crop at $4.82 3/4, up 1.5 cents. In the May of next year at $4.89, a penny and 3/4 higher. July up 2 cents at $4.94 3/4. July beans at $15.18 3/4 cents, 13.5 cents higher. August at $14.48, up 17 1/4, and September at $13.27 1/4, up 20. November beans $12.70 3/4 cents, up 17 3/4, and January $12.76, up 16 3/4. March soybeans $12.79 1/2, up 16 1/4. July of next year at $12.82, up 15 1/2 cents. Bean meal at $5.01.50, up $3.40. Bean oil at $40.86, that's 39 higher. Live cattle futures in the June at $137.60, up 67 1/2 cents. August at $138.65, down 95. The June actually down 67 1/2. May feeder cattle at $189.7 1/2, down 12 1/2 cents. August at $195.37 1/2. Down $1.15, and the June lean hogs at $117.60, $2.32 1/2 cents lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $103.77 a barrel, down 30 cents for the day. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.08 1/cent. That's a penny and 3/10 higher. Ethanol futures at $2.31 4/10, 3 8/10 cent higher. And the spread is 69 4/10 cent wide. That's 2 4/10 cent narrower than yesterday. Natural gas trading 4.35 7/10, 11 6/10 cent lower. And the diesel fuel at $2.95 1/10, up, or rather down, 2/10 cent. Gold futures up $6.90 at the end of the day, finished at $1,295 even. And the U.S. dollar at 80.24. That's up 0.14 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. Here's it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies today, a high of 77 degrees on a north-northwest wind at about 10 miles an hour for the afternoon. And then for the evening, we should see partly cloudy skies and a low of 52. Northeast winds at 5 to 8 and sunny skies on Friday with a high of 75 degrees. Friday night clear and 49. And Saturday, sunny skies with a 76-degree high with east-southeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 58. Sunday, mostly sunny and 82. Sunday night, cloudy and 64. The National Weather Service says Memorial Day will be 86 degrees with a high there and sunny skies. And Monday night, partly cloudy with a low of 66. Tuesday, partly sunny and 85. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast, including some rainfall that should come into those drought-stricken areas of the West, with Mike Tenora when we get to the bottom of the half hour. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 22nd day of May, 2014. On the phone line with us today from Louisiana in Mandeville at CGB is Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd, and I'm actually in Central Illinois today.
Are you? Where are you today?
Well, I'm just north of TGM, so I'm between Windsor and Sullivan right now.
Oh, well, then you probably ought to be on the lookout. I'm pretty certain that when I talk with Matt Bennett a little bit later, he's in the field somewhere planting soybeans. In fact, I know he is. He told me to give him a call on his cell phone this afternoon. So,
on his cell phone? So
yeah.
He's out planting. I thought about stopping by, but I figured he'd probably be out in the field.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he sends me a picture or sends you a picture, you can just go find him. He can do that on Twitter. How about that?
That's funny.
That'll put you right on his GPS. That's amazing what you can do with those functions, isn't it?
Amazing. And they tell me that new John Deere 16-row electric planter, you can really plant a lot of corn with that.
Well, I haven't seen one in action, have you?
No, but I guess you can go like 7.5 or 8 mile an hour with it.
You can plant
as much with that in one day as you can a 24-row, and it's easier to move around.
You know somebody who has one, I take it?
I've talked to some people that have watched it and are really amazed by it.
Yeah,
so
it's a.
But we're going to go smaller but quicker. We're just going to speed everything up, and we're going to go smaller now.
Well, they're having trouble moving those big dogs around on those little bitty roads. So the smaller you get down to 16 rows and go twice as fast, that's not so bad, huh?
Well, I think, you know, it makes more sense probably here. I mean, especially in Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, we're still talking acres. You know, when you get out west and you start talking quarter sections and half sections and sections, well, then that's a little different ball game. But here we still have a lot of 80-acre and 40-acre plots around, and it's hard to move that big equipment around in those areas.
It's hard to turn it around in those areas. It's hard to get it down the road. So I think they may have something. We'll see how it works, and if it works very well, there'll be a lot of them around. And couple that with the auto steer, and guys, she'll be running 18 hours a day, and it won't take very long to plant a whole lot of corn. Actually, it doesn't take very long to plant a whole lot of corn, a whole lot of soybeans already. What do you think Monday will show? For crop progress?
I don't know. I suppose we'll probably be, you know, in the low 80s, 10%, I suppose. We're, what, 73, 83,
yeah, so it might be
85. 85.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's going to show 7 million or 8 million acres not planted yet in the northern five states. And they'll be right up against their prevent plant date. And that'll be interesting to see how the market wants to react to that on Tuesday afternoon.
And let's talk about soybeans, because even on the weekly chart, we're here on Thursday. We have an outside up week at this point, and I haven't looked. I suppose we probably will end up that way unless we really bomb out tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the soybean bear, I think, pinned the soybean bull, I think, pinned the bear here today and got a band around him. So he got banded, and we're breaking out of that 7-8 week sideways pattern. And if tomorrow is a follow-through day and a strong close, a weekly close above this most recent highs that we've had here, I think that really opens the gate up for another 50 cents up. Everything kind of moves in 50 cent marks on beans, and we cross the $15 area on July. So I think you go $15.50, and then beans, we cross the $12.50. So then you can start talking $13. And like I told Dave this morning, I think back at the Beef Outlook Conference, Sue Martin said that November beans would make new contract highs before the year's out. And I think she's going to be right on the money, at least the way I'm looking at it right now, that I think that 1333 is definitely going to be in jeopardy if we can get some good technical follow-through here tomorrow and close out the week very strong.
Well, what's a good fundamental reason for that to happen?
Well, demand. You know, the trade's been looking for sales cancellations on these exports now for about 4 weeks in a row, and they've got an increase each week. Today was one of the better increases, a 6 million bushel increase. So export sales are 50 million more than what USDA's got on the books. And the way we're using soybean meal, we're going to have to bump up the crush 25 million. So there's 75 million worth of demand that USDA hasn't accounted for. So I guess they're going to have to increase imports to 160 to balance the sheet. but probably what's going to happen, I think the function of the market will be to take old crop beans up to the point where there'll be a financial incentive for some of these old crop bean sales to be moved into the new crop marketing year, because, you know, we are approaching June 1 here, so we're not, you know, that far away from new crop harvest, and I think people could probably wait a month or two and reschedule everything. So, but we don't know when that's going to happen. That may not happen until August 1 or may not happen until September 1, but whatever the case may be, is that the demand is very strong, and we have to somehow bring that balance sheet into balance. And then I think the other thing is, I think USDA, the WASD people, I know they do their work, and, you know, they give the best guesses they think they can, but I think they're way off on demand for next year.
Is that the export demand?
I think the balance sheet's a lot tighter. I think the market's telling you that China demand is much stronger, and I think they just got themselves caught in a situation where they just had too many ships coming into their ports at one time, and they had to shed some of that backup. But, they no more than shedded that backup. They went back buying again. So I think everybody's underestimating how much China's going to buy for next year already.
By how much?
Well, I think enough to get beans up to $13.50 or so on November.
Well,
maybe
does...
14. Maybe 14, maybe 15. You know?
Are we in an auction?
July, I can read old crop beans to 1963 or something like that if things would get going real good. If we, it could be exciting yet before the summer's over with.
How about for corn?
I think the bear's going to get banded one of these days, and the bull's going to take over. I think that 1.7 billion bushel carry out is fantasy land. I think the yield is way too high. I think USDA is using the maximum end of their trend line. I think if you drew a trend line that was more practical, it would be somewhere around 160, 161. So, you know, you take four bushels off the national average yield. So there's 320 million. So then that brings the carry out down to 1.4. And I think they're about 200 million bushels too low on exports. So then we get down to 1.2. So I think the balance sheet for next year is basically unchanged.
I think that's where we ought to leave it. What a thing. Hey, thanks so much.
Giddy up.
All right. Hey, you have a good afternoon. Thanks much. And say hi to everybody out there in Illinois, okay?
I sure will, Todd.
All right.
Bye.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises. He's from Mandeville, Louisiana, but somewhere north of Windsor, Illinois. I think that's what he said there in that area this afternoon. Speaking of which, we'll talk in not too many minutes here with Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, in a moment, your director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here. He'll have the Ag News for the afternoon.
Corn growers in the northern tier of the Corn Belt may be re-examining planting options after this weekend. Sunday, May 25th, is the final planting date for corn crop insurance in North and South Dakota. Growers can choose to continue to plant corn after Sunday, but there is a 1% drop in insurance coverage per day for every late day up to 25 days. North Dakota's corn crop was 17% planted as of May 18th. South Dakota corn planting is much further along at 73%. Together, the Dakotas accounted for 1.2 billion bushels of corn production in 2013. Parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin also have a final corn planting date of May 25th. Other areas have until May 31st. If planting corn for grain. Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio have until June 5th to plant corn and still get full insurance coverage. CME Group yesterday pushed back against calls for it to close open outcry trading if its electronic platform fails, saying that most traders have access to the pits. CME suffered the worst ever trading outage on the world's most important agricultural markets last month when its electronic platform went dark. Last week, the National Grain and Feed Association said CME should temporarily suspend open outcry trading if its electronic trading platform crashes to ensure fair access to markets. Some brokers in the grain and livestock markets affected by the electronic outage also have said that CME should close the pits because electronic trading accounts for roughly 95% of the volume in agricultural futures. Brazil's experiment with second crop soybean planting does not appear to have gone well, with low yields and persistent Asian rust. Early yields are disappointing at 9 to 27 bushels to the acre. Mato Grosso, Brazil's number one soy state, planted 296,000 acres of second crop soy this season, up 600% on the year before. Across Brazil as a whole, around 600,000 acres of second crop soybeans were planted. Federal forecasters are expected to predict a slower-than-usual hurricane season this year. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will release next Monday the agency's outlook for the six-month storm season that begins on June 1st. Meanwhile, Colorado State University researchers have forecast 9 named storms, with just 3 expected to become hurricanes and 1 major storm this season. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can find on our website anytime you'd like, along with all of our other agricultural programming, in fact, at WILLAG.org. Our guest this week for Commodity Week, Elwin Taylor from Iowa State University. Commodity Week airs at 2:36 right here on our home station. Other stations on Saturday morning and always up on the website on Friday afternoon by about 4 o'clock on Fridays. Central Time, you can check out Commodity Week at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line is Matt Bennett. He's from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, but I believe he's in the tractor cab this afternoon planting soybeans. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. You just about done planting soybeans there in Windsor?
Yeah, in a couple of days we'll be done, so we're getting close.
Okay, I suspect that you, and I know your father because I just talked to him by accident, I dialed the wrong phone number,
yeah.
Are both listening probably to what Zwicker had to say about the marketplace today. And he's been pulled up for a long time, and he remains that way. And I guess the trade in Chicago has got him thinking he's been right for a while now. What do you think about this market?
Well, it definitely has been a great market for producers who haven't done much, and those who have in covered sales are looking like they're sitting in a pretty good position. I guess the way I want to look at the new crop situation is just simply from a profitability standpoint. I think that we could see some higher prices, but we're so profitable compared to where we were earlier in the year, and it's tough not to think back to where we were at, you know, in the winter time frame for some of those winter meetings, because as you know, it was pretty bleak outlook at times for some of these guys, and I want them to kind of think back to that, maybe use that as a barometer as to what they want to do with sales moving forward.
Yeah, so I think that Daryl Good has been, and he maintains that somewhere between 15% and 25% sales, and I think on both old crop or on new crop corn and soybeans would be a good place to be and to get there if you aren't there once we get about $5 cash on the corn. So we got some work to do there, but beans are moving pretty rapidly higher today. What do you think about that marketplace and making new crop soybean sales at all to catch up if you haven't already?
Yeah, I think if we haven't made enough sales yet, or if guys aren't comfortable with where they're at, by all means, with this kind of a rally, I'd be getting upwards of 25% personally. We've been pushing sales up to 50%. You know, and then guy can keep long a call if he wants to cover some of those sales. But it's an extremely profitable area in this position. So, you know, I'm probably a little more heavily sold than Daryl Good, but he usually is much more right than I am. So.
Well, Daryl's very conservative in the process, and he's usually really pretty close to right. When you put your hand down on the pulse of things for basis in central Illinois at this point, looking forward, do you feel like the market is as short of crop as it looks like it is in Chicago?
Well, it sure seems that way. I mean, our basis has been creeping up, just getting just a little bit better on both corn and beans for the last two or three weeks. And, you know, whenever you get into this time of the year, a lot of times you find out who really is covered and who isn't. And I think regionally you're going to see some pretty wild basis fluctuations. But I do think basis will continue to strengthen as a whole, but I think it could get pretty wild, strengthen significantly in some places.
Okay, so one last question. We only have about 50 seconds left. Are you concerned at all about a whole lot of grain being left in the upper northwestern part of the Midwest and the impact that might have on the market?
Well, I think that it's a problem, and I've talked to some guys up there, and they're not sure they're going to have room in places where they're going to have wheat coming in this summer to dump it. So I think it's a problem. They're having a hard time getting trains up there, and you know, it's going to remain an issue, and I'm not so sure when it's going to resolve itself.
Have a safe day on the planter and keep rolling. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll talk with Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, the guys up at the Andersons Ben Pruce in Everly, Iowa, about the cash grain market. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk with the weather with Mike Tenora.
It's National Vanilla Pudding Day. The dessert Americans think of today is more related to custards and puddings. Early English puddings were either savory and meat-based or sweet with a base of flour, eggs, and sugar. By the 1930s, instant custard and pudding mixes were all the rage in the U.S. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was born. Doyle was the creator of that famed detective Sherlock Holmes. A close reading of the Valley of Fear shows Holmes was keenly interested in farming in his later years. Directly from the story, the friends of Mr. Sherlock Holmes will be glad to learn that he is still alive and well, though somewhat crippled by occasional attacks of rheumatism. He has, for many years, lived in a small farm upon the downs 5 miles from Eastbourne, where his time is divided between philosophy and agriculture. In 1931, canned rattlesnake went on sale for the first time, packed by George K. End of Arcadia, Florida. By the way, End's demise came at the fangs of a rattler. End refused to go to the hospital and instead treated the wound with a home remedy that he devised. The cure failed. In 1934, David Wesson died. An American chemist, he developed a method to make cottonseed oil edible. Cottonseed oil has almost no taste, so it allows the flavors of other foods to come through. It is used in the manufacture of margarine, salad dressings, and commercially fried foods, and of course, Wesson oil. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather, is on the line. Mike, let's start out west, where the wheat crop has suffered substantially from dry weather conditions. Are they going to change conditions up in the next week or so?
Well, we're going to see one of the more dramatic pattern changes that you ever will see as far as going from very dry to very wet in a very short amount of time. There's a large upper-level system that right now is located over the desert southwest. This system will very slowly crawl to the east over the next 7 to 10 days, eventually making it all the way to Illinois, but not until Tuesday, Wednesday, or maybe even Thursday next week. So we do have a ways to go before this system gets here. Now, what it's going to do in the meantime is set up a very favorable wind alignment for multiple rounds of heavy rain and thunderstorms across the plains, especially from Nebraska southward through Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and into eastern Colorado. In fact, yesterday, there were several tornado reports in eastern Colorado, and that's all in advance of this same storm system. We're looking for widespread rainfall of 1.5 to 3 inches across much of this region, which, put in perspective, is around 20 to 30 days worth of rain over a 5-day period across the plains. In Texas and Oklahoma, it's hard to believe that this will make for a large improvement in their wheat crop simply because harvest season is only a couple of weeks away. Further to the north into Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado, certainly a beneficial event, but dryness has never really been all that severe in that area throughout the last couple of months. So a real mixed outlook, but the main point is that a major series of rain events is forthcoming to driest areas of the plains.
And those will move into our part of the world, the Corn Belt, then into the eastern Midwest over time next week?
We have fairly high confidence that we'll start to see scattered showers and thunderstorms develop across the western third of the Corn Belt. So we're talking about areas to the west of Illinois. That's on Monday, Memorial Day. As we move into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we think we'll see a very large area of scattered showers and thunderstorms form throughout most of the Corn Belt. This will include Illinois the way it looks right now. Although it will be a long period with scattered showers and thunderstorms, there will be plenty of dry hours mixed in. So we think that by the time we go through the entire period of, say, next Tuesday through next Thursday, around May 27th through 29th, we'll be looking at 1 inch of rain across most of the Corn Belt. That's what will have fallen, at least. But it's a very complex situation. These systems, when they move this slowly, make for difficult weather forecasts. But this is the way it looks right now. And we do have fairly decent confidence in this scenario.
Can you tell me about conditions with the wind over that time frame? Producers will be wanting to get into the field to spray corn.
The winds won't be a real large problem simply because all of the weather that's going to occur over the next 5 to 10 days will be driven by upper-level dynamics, and they won't be directly connected to the surface. Once you're connected to the surface, that's where you start to get some strong winds.
Zero in on Minnesota and the Dakotas. They have been behind and would like to finish up planting there.
Scattered showers and storms return as early as Saturday, more so Sunday, Monday. So we think that all planting that's taking place there right now and continues into the weekend will come to another fairly dramatic halt, say in 4 to 5 days.
That's Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to Illinois Public Media, the Closing Market Report. That wraps up this Thursday edition. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.